Hi, this is Gardening Related, and I'm Aunt Rebecca in Oregon.
And I'm Elizabeth over in New York.
And I'm
How are you?
I'm tired, old Aunt Rebecca in Oregon. It's August. It's late August here. And it's been a hot, dry summer for the United States for the most part. Although today,
for the world.
For the world. And for the most part, Texas is flooded today. So you can't say hot and dry everywhere, but you can say disastrous. Although online on Addicted to Gardening, I'm seeing beautiful gardens on there. And I'm so inspired by other gardeners, but so depressed. This is the time, I don't know about other gardeners, but, and maybe it comes later for you, but you work your butt off all season long.
Yeah.
And then your flowers start to die back. Your perennials start to die back. The big blossoms for the roses are dying back. Your dahlias are getting smaller. It just seems like at the end of the season, no matter what you do, you lose.
Yeah, putting the garden to bed is sad. And I feel like right now I am now full blown into, well, next year I'll do this better. Next year I'll do that better. And I'm not thinking about the garden that I have in front of me. I'm thinking about the garden that I will do a year from now.
Which is also very, very good. And to take notes on that.
Yeah, definitely. But it still feels like, ugh, you know, I messed this up. Like you can at this point in the season list, or at least I can, all
I
of
can
the
too.
Many things that I've done wrong.
Wrong, exactly.
That this didn't grow big enough. Or
right.
I should have watered that more.
Yes, or I didn't feed this at the right time, or I didn't prune this at the right time, or I let all this fall over and now it needs staking, and when I stake it, it looks really bad.
Yes.
I think it's important to notice those things so that you'll do better next year.
Yeah.
It's like every day you mess up stuff and you get into bed at night and go, oh, shoot, I did this and this. But you did the best you could at the time. And I had a client once when I was channeling who really, really hated winter. She thought it was the dark side of life, the dark side of the moon.
Yeah.
She hated night. She thought it was black and the devil and dark and horrible.
Okay.
At that point, I was, it was in August or September, and I was so glad to think about winter coming on, I couldn't see straight for all the rest I needed. So I tried to convince her that, you know, it was a time when even plants go down and they need to rest. I mean, all of nature needs to rest. We go to bed every night, for crying out loud. Our physical reality is not designed for us to go 24/7.
No, it's not.
Not in humans and not in plants. And as they die back, while it may be sad for us, it could be, I'm going to just try to talk myself into this, okay? It could be a relief that we don't have to keep up with it so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although I know that there are some things that are just coming on. I mean, the mums are just coming on, and my tomatoes are still, you know, mostly green.
Yeah. I'm still going to have tomatoes to be harvested. I have some cherry tomatoes that are going to sprout any day now.
That's
just harvested some cucumbers, which...
Oh, good.
My cucumbers are growing in balls.
Okay.
They're balls.
Overwatering.
Really?
Because
the vines look almost dry. They're in a very sunny spot. So I think they're with all the intense heat, I think the vines have gotten a little scorched. But you think it's over? Really?
No, I don't know. I flunked cucumbers for so long. I am not an expert on them. I would tell you this, that cucumbers need some shade. And I would, if I were you, go get your crappiest, most beat up umbrella.
Yeah.
And literally open it up and stick it on top of the cucumbers.
Yeah. Yeah, because they are sir. And I'm thinking, did I buy like some weird variety that grows in a circle? Like, I thought that I was growing melons for a hot second. You know, because I was second guessing myself.
are they lemon cucumbers? Because if they are, they grow in balls.
No, I grew Kirby cucumbers.
Okay.
Huh. So they should be small pickling cucumbers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be that they, maybe you're not picking them in time.
Maybe. But I mean, they're, well, who knows? I mean, I ate one today, like an apple, and it was pretty good. Tasted like a cucumber.
Good.
Had a lot of meat on it. It was, so that was nice.
That was good.
And then just like the little seeds just right in the middle of this big ball.
Right. And did you, I mean, it could be that somebody got a hold of a cucumber mix seed and what you planted wasn't what they said it was on the package. That's happened to me on beans.
Oh.
And it's only one bean out of all the 25 or 30 that I got.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I got mostly blue leg green beans, and then I got one flat bean, and it was like, oh, well, you know, somebody at the bean store messed up, sorted them
wrong.
One bean flew into the wrong bin. It happens. Yeah. But as long as they're good, eat them.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I mean, I'm not making a big deal out of it. I'm happy that they grew. It's just awkward. They're awkward.
Well, how long are they on the vine before they turn into a ball?
They start turning into a ball pretty much immediately.
Okay, then you've got a weird thing that you're not doing anything wrong unless it's under or over watering or too much heat.
I mean, I'm watering them, you know, every morning.
Okay.
It's pretty consistent, but I would not call it overwatering.
Okay, good. So secondly, I'd get an umbrella on them, some sort of shade.
Yeah.
Make a shade tent around them for a little while and see if that improves. But I suspect it sounds like if they go immediately into a ball, you've got a cross between a Kirby and a lemon.
Mm-hmm.
Because lemon cucumbers are little balls and they go into a ball immediately. They don't wait around.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. All right.
And if they taste okay, great.
Yeah, they taste great. They taste great.
Good. You're going to make yourself a cucumber sandwich?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cucumber salad with the dill we have in the yard. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
That is great. We've gotten beans, a lot of beans now. I love green beans right out of the garden. I love them.
Same. Same.
And you know what the Italians do with them? They use them cold in a salad.
Oh, yes.
In fancy restaurants, you can order beans as a side dish. And it doesn't come hot and it doesn't come cooked with a ham hock. It comes, they come cold and they come with olive oil, which is, of course, killer in Italy. And then some lemon and salt and pepper.
Oh, lemon yum. Juice. And yeah, I do. I do green beans. I lightly steamed them this last time that I made it a couple days ago. And then I chop up red onion.
Yes.
And dress it with olive oil, salt, pepper, oregano, and feta cheese. No, not feta cheese. Parmesan cheese.
Nice.
So good. It's so good.
You know, when your tomatoes come in, I add red onion and tomatoes to my green beans.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Vinaigretted, especially the sun golds.
Yes. So I have to brag.
Okay, brag.
I have to brag. So Forrest's stepdad came over this past weekend to install a bathroom fan in our bathroom.
Nice.
Which was lovely. He's an electrician, so we got some, you know, professional work done.
I know, right?
For free. I love family for that.
You can send him out here anytime.
Yep. So in exchange, you know, we provided, of course, the beer and the steak, and I made some side salads to go with it.
Wow.
So I made a kale salad that I learned from TikTok.
Good.
And then also the green bean salad with the red onion and Parmesan.
Yeah.
And my kale salad had It was just kale and lemon juice with apple, feta cheese, and a couple carrots grated.
Nice. In.
It was really yummy. And then I redressed it with more oil and vinegar.
Yeah.
And Mick at first was like, ugh, you can keep the kale salad. Keep it away from me. That's fine. And I said, okay, you know, that's fine. You might want to just take a bite, though. I do make a pretty mean kale salad.
Yeah.
And so he was like, oh, fine. And he tried like a little leaf. And he was like, you know what?
This is good, right?
This is pretty good. And then he helped himself to more.
Ooh,
he was like,
no.
Wow, this is really good.
All right.
And he helped himself to two more helpings.
No.
Of the kale salad and said this. Hold on to your butts, everyone. He said. Oh,
okay.
He said, wow, you know, the steak was good, but this kale salad was really the star of the show.
No way. Yep. You're outing him on national podcast here.
This man, rather than having a birthday cake, has a steak. You know, this is the red-blooded American man.
Irish man, yes. Irish has a steak.
Yes, yes. Yes.
beer and steak. Oh, I love it.
Beer and steak and kale salad, upstaged steak.
And you just outed him. You realize that. He's going to have to live this down the rest of his life.
Yep.
Oh, no. Okay. Okay, then. We know that, then.
It's on the internet. It's there forever.
Okay, so can you post the recipe on our website?
Sure. Well, I have to attribute...
you can attribute.
The kale salad to... I have to look her up on TikTok, but she's an amazing salad, yummy salads person.
I bet
and
she
her
is.
Her salads are incredible. They're incredible. Good. She's like, I dress my salads like I dress a potato chip. Like, dress them good. Do not be scared of the dressing. That's the good part.
And yeah.
She's right. She's right.
She's 100%
taught me a thing
right.
or two.
Okay, good. So let's attribute it to her because she deserves all the, and then we'll call it, you know, Elizabeth and whoever show her name is, kale salad. There we go.
Yeah.
That's
so
fantastic.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And you could substitute spinach or lettuce with it too, couldn't you?
You could. You could throw in, you know, all kinds of different greens and roughage, and you know, you could put in some dandelions. Dandelions, fun thing about them, they're entirely edible.
Yes. And very good for you.
Other delicious weeds and, you know, wild things that grow in your yard, like mustard, garlic mustard or you know, mugwort. All good things that can go in there.
Are they bitter? Dandelion.
Yeah, they're a little bitter. Yeah. Yeah. I did fried dandelion heads early in the spring when, you know, all the dandelions were out, and they were really good.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of a wilted salad?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I bet they'd be good in a wilted salad.
I agree. Yeah.
Mom used to make a wilted salad where she would throw in greens, usually bitter ones.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't throw in much more but the greens because it was all going to get cooked by some bacon fat. Instead of olive oil, she used bacon fat because she's a Missouri girl. And
Midwest.
I think she would heat it up a bit so that it would wilt. And then it was the weirdest salad I ever ate. And I remember thinking, I really don't like this, but I got to eat it because Mom's watching.
I didn't realize that you would cook the salad in bacon grease.
No, you cook the dressing.
Oh.
And then you pour the hot dressing over the lettuce.
Huh.
So it's partially cooked, only with the heat of the dressing.
Interesting. Well, I always just squirt lemon juice on and let that sit. And that, the acid.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And also,
we're not cooks.
And also, I like balsamic vinaigrette and lemon juice.
Oh, I agree. Yeah.
To give it that depth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah. What's new in your garden this year? This week?
Well, we pulled up all of the dead things. You know, the peas. All of the things that had gone to seed were over. So we pulled all those up. And then I was reading about green mulching.
Yes.
And, you know, getting the garden ready for winter. So I planted hairy vetch, which is like a green ground cover.
Yes.
And it's very high in nitrogen.
Yes.
So we just planted those, and what we're going to do is let them grow. And then yes. when they go to flower, before they go to seed,
yes.
We're going to cut them down.
And turn the soil.
I wasn't planning on turning the soil. I've heard turning the soil can hurt the ecosystem.
Well, the thing with, I'll have to read about this.
Yeah,
I would think that vetch would come back in the spring.
Huh.
That's what I'm worried about. You see, I would think that. But I have to read more about it because I've never planted it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm hoping with cutting it down, it says on the package, if you cut it down, it won't come back before it.
Okay,
you
good.
Know, if you cut it down before it goes to seed.
Yeah, God, Elizabeth, do not let it go to seed.
Okay.
Do not let that happen. Okay, good. Good.
I can see your eyes getting wide as I
know. I'm like, oh shit, vetch. Oh, I shouldn't have said shit. Oh shit. Oh. Okay.
Okay.
Hon will cut that out.
Yep. Yeah.
There'll be some bleeps.
Okay.
No
vetch.
No vetch. So it's a time in the garden to sort of take stock, pun intended, of all the things that you want to do different next year. And I like what you just said. And it's good to acknowledge the depression. It's good to acknowledge that you're tired. It's good to acknowledge that, you know, some things didn't work. Some things did. Some things are still working, like your tomatoes and, you know, maybe the mums in your area are starting to come up and, or your dahlias are kicking butt this year, you know? My dahlias didn't this year. It's odd.
Oh, huh. Yeah, our dahlias are strong over here. I think they got enough heat.
Good. Good. Yeah. They actually like a little bit of cool, too. So that's good. My dahlias are not doing as well. My lilies did really well this year. But not
my dahlias. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So each year, something new and different, you know, and then next year you'll think, okay, I'm going to do everything exactly like this year and I'll have this and this together. And then they don't bloom at the same time. And you're like, what's up? So you just have to be patient with yourself.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's something that's so important to remember. Honestly, my marigolds popped the biggest.
Well, yeah, from all that heat.
From all the heat, and you can tell the marigolds that were closest to the gart, to the hose.
Because they're bigger.
Because they're huge. And then I had they're huge. I mean, they're like 3 foot round.
Interesting.
They're bushes.
So make sure that you take some seed from those.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And also, I meant to tell you, when you're collecting seed, you might want to collect seed from the very earliest of your tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's not the best tomato, it's the earliest. So you'll have an earlier plant next year in your yard.
Oh, that's so true. Yes. Yeah, we're looking at the genetics of it.
Right.
Yeah.
So you might want to do that. And also, you know, like your biggest tomato and your best beans or your best whatevers, and start collecting those seeds and knowing that they're going to be stored well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Haunt and I, he started gathering seeds from foxgloves and from some poppies. And we have a whole lot of foxgloves, and, you know, poppies produce massive amounts of seeds. These are annual poppies. So he just put them in envelopes.
Yeah.
Just plain old white envelopes and marked the envelope.
Marked the envelopes. Yeah.
And tape up the places where they would leak out at the sides.
Right. Right.
And so you can do that. And then
use your filing cabinet method.
Yes.
Yeah.
And put them in a box under P's and F's for foxgloves, and or digitalis and poppet, whatever you want to use, however you want to use it, and put them in a dark closet for the winter. Now, some people put their poppy seeds out in the fall, and they like the chill. They like to be chilled.
Oh, interesting.
They
need that. You plant them in the fall.
Well, you spread them because you don't plant a poppy seed because they need the sun to germinate. My problem with that is that the birds are always going to find a poppy seed edible.
Mm-hmm.
So you throw out all these wonderful seeds and you get a poppy because the birds have found them all winter long because they're looking for food. So you use tulle to cover them and stuff. But remember, they have to be in direct sunlight. So I do it in late winter so they get some of the chill, put them under the tulle so that they can see the sunlight and the birds can't get them.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah.
And I had very little success last year with my poppies because Haunt and I moved the mulch, but not enough for the sun to get to the bottom of the trench.
Mm.
So we covered this trench with tulle, but it wasn't enough for the poppy seeds to see the sun enough. So next year it has to be a bigger trench.
Hmm.
It's okay. And you don't mulch where you're going to put. Actually, ideally, you just make a nice big flat place for your poppy seeds, throw the poppy seeds in there late winter and cover them with something so the birds won't get them.
Huh. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
So what's one of the biggest things you're going to do different next year?
I think I'm going to start my seeds in cups rather than in those little seed containers.
Yeah.
I think they just need to get a bigger, stronger root system before you go, you know, sticking forks or fingers into those little delicate seed containers. And, you know, I think I lost a lot of starts incidentally that way.
I have a suggestion for that, for you about that.
Yeah.
You know, seeds need a seed starting mix on the top so that they have no resistance, no hard soil.
Right.
So that their little tiny baby roots can spread out with no resistance. And so when I went to a bigger container to start my seeds, that was all well and good, but it used up so much of the seed starting mix that I didn't want to have to spend money on. And it has
that
no
seed start is expensive. Yeah.
And it has no nutrients.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
It has no nutrients. So the long-lasting effect, the longer you keep your seeds in it, the more
starved.
They starve. So what I did with delphinium seeds, because I love my delphiniums, and they don't like to be moved at all.
Yeah.
And I would lose a lot in transplanting them. So I would start them in something bigger, like a 4-inch pot.
Mm-hmm.
And I would put a half an inch of seed starter on top of beautiful potting soil.
Oh, there you go. So they have the easy, cozy, nice start. They can push through it. But once they push through it, they access the more nutrient-rich soil.
And you bought time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You don't have to transfer them.
Yeah.
You will get a healthier root system. So if you do it in a cup, pick the right size cup and put a hole in the bottom.
Yeah.
On a lipped cookie sheet.
Honestly, I was thinking like solo cup size. You know, I think that's a good size cup.
What's a solo cup?
They're like those red
yes.
cups.
Yes.
They're like about, you know,
yeah.
They're big.
Yeah. And that would be really good. So put two holes in the bottom.
Yeah.
And then wash them with 10% bleach water.
Oh, well, I do new cups, I think.
No, next year.
Oh, okay.
The following year. So you don't throw them away.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely save them.
And then to save yourself on tags and stuff, you put a half a cookie sheet's worth all of the same seed.
Yeah.
Like your marigolds, if you're going to want massive amounts of marigolds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of the most impressive things I've learned is one of the simplest. People ooh and ah over a mass planting.
Uh-huh. Yes.
You know, when you have two or three little tiny plants, or you buy 2 6-packs and you put the 6-pack plants all around your garden, all 12 of them, you don't get much impact.
Yeah.
But if you plant all 12 in the same area and you give them a little bit of room to breathe and stretch and grow, and you feed them and nurture them a little bit, it's a nice big ooh and ah moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you gather the seeds the next year, you can have 3 of those or 4 of those ooh and ah moments.
Yeah.
In your garden.
Absolutely. And that continuity is just so cozy and comforting.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you know that you can count on those blooms coming up. And then mm-hmm. you pair it with something else that you count on coming up right beside it.
Yeah.
And so it grows. And if you do it with seeds and seed cups, like you're talking about, then you buy yourself time. So you start your seeds in February in the cold, in the cups, mm-hmm. all nice and clean, with a cookie sheet under it so you don't ruin your table, and markers and stuff. And you let them grow until April in these beautiful cookie sheets, cups, April or May even, and they're ready to go. Then you're not transplanting. Yeah. You're not in the neonatal unit anymore.
Exactly. Exactly. I want to be planting adolescent plants.
Yes.
Next year. I think that's my goal is, you know, grow them fast, grow them big. Yeah.
Now is the time to start planting lettuce inside.
Yes. Yeah.
Because it's a 45-day crop, lettuces, and it likes the cool weather. So if you started some cups of lettuce.
Yeah.
First of all, they grow quickly. Secondly, don't put one seed in a cup. Put 4, 5, 6.
Yeah.
So that you have a nice bunch. And then you can always divide them a little bit, you know, or stretch them out into a line once you get them out of the cup. So that when you stick them into the ground in September in yummy, wonderful soil, you've got a nice group of lettuce for another month and a half.
Yeah.
Same thing with kale, same thing with radishes, same thing with, well, it'd be harder to do with cauliflower and Brussels sprouts, but you could try. Although they might need more of a growing period before your first frost comes about October, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, should be.
They might not.
Here in, 8 weeks, I'm thinking.
I know.
Although, as we were talking a couple weeks ago, the peepers were out. What was it? The cicadas were out or the peepers were out? And someone told me that that's 6 weeks from the next frost.
Okay.
When they come out. I don't know if that's true,
you know,
but
write it down and take note of it.
Yeah. Yeah. That was August, mid-August.
So the last time we talked about native plants.
Yes, a little bit. Yeah.
A little bit. And we talked about, you and I talked about encouraging gardeners to put in a section, maybe even, of native plants. First of all, what are the rewards? The rewards are that they're easier to keep in your area.
Yes.
Native plants are easier to maintain and keep.
Yes.
Secondly, they may look like crap by the end of the year, but so does everything else.
Well, yeah, yeah. They and
they dry up, or they, you know, because,
sure,
whatever.
Third, but they'll come back.
But
they'll
come
back with less work. They will put themselves to bed. They're on their own cycle. So
that's
even
right.
If they're annuals, you have a more established crop than you would, you know, some perennials.
Exactly, and it feeds the nature that is in your area.
Yes. Yes, it
Which
does.
Which is huge. It feeds the bees. It feeds the birds. It feeds those things that we need to feed right now in your area. And that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And then you could also, if you have a big place, you could also put that nature and native thing to work for you, saying that you're, you know, partly a native garden. And just let her rock and roll on their own. Maybe you have to weed it once or twice, but you don't really have to take that much care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it's it's helping nature, which is, I think, all gardeners' hearts are in nature. Whether they grow exotics or not, it's still in nature. They love nature. They get highs off of nature.
Absolutely. I mean, there's nothing like smelling fresh dirt when you have it, like opening the first bag of seed start in February.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. It's such a shot of energy, right?
Yes.
And so, yeah, I think native planting is all about non-resistance planting. You know,
well, that's a good way to say it.
You're not fighting, assisting. Uphill. Yeah, you're assisting nature. You're not pulling apart an ecosystem, which does often happen when planting exotic plants.
What do you mean pulling apart an ecosystem?
So okay. Bugs. We're going to start with bugs.
Okay.
They have very special, unique palates, just like we do. They can only eat certain things, and they've evolved over millions and millions of years to only eat these certain things. So,
and the native bugs that are in your area are accustomed to native flowers because they've been eating them for so long.
And that's all they can eat. So when you plant an exotic plant, you are essentially depriving them of food.
Oh.
And cannot eat it.
Well, why do we want native bugs?
Well, so, you know, I know we've talked about how to kill bugs and how to get rid of bugs. And that's totally true. But when you have an ecosystem, when you walk through the woods, you know.
Yeah.
The reason that it works is because you have bugs, and those bugs eat the leaves, and they transfer 98% of the nutrients that the leaves collect from the trees and transfer it on to the birds that eat the bugs.
So they
are a keystone.
I see.
Little I being. And
they're a cog in the food chain.
They're such a vital cog in the food chain.
Okay.
And a garden that is not part of the food chain is not part of nature.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So.
And, you know, I know we think native plants can be ugly, but there are some gorgeous native plants.
No, not takes all a native little, plants are ugly.
Not all native plants are ugly. And I think, you know, I mean, look at what we have done to hybridize all of these amazing roses. You know, the Portland Rose Garden in Portland, Oregon, where you are. I mean, stunning roses. Those happened because scientists and gardeners came up and designed these roses.
Yes.
So why can't we do that with our native plants, you know?
Well, we have. I mean, the delphinium, the tall delphiniums are a hybrid of a delphinium that comes that's in nature, and it's about 2 feet tall, 2 or 3 feet tall.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what they wanted was they wanted more flowers on each stalk.
Mm-hmm.
And the roses that they've developed are roses that come from a single rose.
Yeah.
So they wanted more petals on each flower. So that's how it developed and stuff. But if we developed a native garden, first of all, it's easier gardening.
It is.
Secondly, it's very good for our environment. Mm-hmm. Third, it brings out the best of nature. And four, if we can convince gardeners, you know, we're talking now, we've got over almost 4,000 people, 3,500 are close, all over now. Mm-hmm. We've got them in Qatar, for crying out loud. Can you imagine what the native plants are in Qatar? I can't go there right now. And Qatar people, tell me about your native plants on our website. I want to know. But if we could build a corridor.
Yeah.
In the United States, of native plants from you, Elizabeth, in New York,
mm-hmm.
all the way out to me in Oregon. Imagine how much it could flourish and how much more nature there would be. I mean, we've lost so many birds. Maybe we've lost them because they're starving.
Honestly, yes. Yeah, we are. It's depressing. But guess how much wild land we currently have. in America.
How much?
It is less than 3 to 5% of America is still wild. Yeah.
I mean, wild, like not parks. Parks are considered wild, right? National parks and stuff?
National parks are considered wild. Yeah. Yep. So national parks and, you know, undisturbed land.
Really?
3 to 5%.
That's we not have very chewed much at all. Through.
No, it's not. So with that, we are standing on the precipice of mass extinction.
Okay.
And that is why we need to create. So I found this amazing author.
Good.
And he writes all about this, and he's starting the homegrown national park movement. And the whole idea is, there isn't enough private land for all of our wildlife to be wild and actually thrive. Like it doesn't exist anymore. And we have all of these different islands of, you know, squirrels and birds and little native plants and animals can't jump highways. They can't jump suburbs. So they're isolated, and islands tend to have smaller populations, less diversity. Less diversity is bad for the environment. For a whole cult of reasons.
Right. Nobody wants to eat just one thing.
No. No, of course not.
And especially if they can't eat it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They've grown, you know. Yes. And when we, like, we all hate Japanese beetles. We hate them.
Yeah.
So when we plant Japanese plants, we are supporting Japanese beetles, right? So, you know, some of the bugs that we hate the most, the reason why we hate them is because they're wild, or they're invasive bugs.
And they have no natural enemy in our world, except for maybe birds. But do birds must eat Japanese beetles? They must like them somewhere. Besides
Japan.
I think
some birds eat Japanese beetles, but not all of them.
Yeah, of course.
So it's tough.
So, So where
Doug
would you...
Doug Tallamy is the name of the author. So he's...
Wait. Spell his last name. T-A...
T-A-L-L-A-M-Y. Doug Tallamy. Good. He's
written
several books. I've read two of them so far. The Nature of Oaks, which, oh my God, I have always been an oak tree lover. And this book made me love oaks all the more. Oh my God. So fascinating. Did you know the blue jay can plant over 3,000 acorns a year? And remember, almost a third of the locations?
No.
Yeah.
Really?
They're like better than squirrels. Yeah.
We have a pair of blue jays out here, and I literally yesterday I was driving down my driveway and I noticed there's three new brand new oak trees.
I bet you have your blue jays to thank for that.
I bet I do. I didn't know that.
And I always thought blue jays were just, you know, the jerks of the world.
They're blue. Are you kidding? Nothing blue can be a jerk.
Oh, blue jays are kind of jerks.
No.
They're total jerks.
No,
oh, yeah.
They're not. They're beautiful. I love my blue jays.
Okay. All right. And the second book that I read, which really lit my hair on fire about about planting native, is Bringing Nature Home.
Okay.
So
that's about native plant planting, right?
Yes, that's about native plant planting. But then he also has another book, which I have not read yet, and I think you may like this one. It's called The Living Landscape, Designing for Beauty and Biodiversity in the Home Garden. So
yes,
it's all about like providing those resources.
Okay.
And good news to to my locals in New York, New Jersey, Vermont, Massachusetts, Ohio, I think. We have some of the best research about native plants in our area.
How come you have that?
I think actually we have the monarch butterfly to thank for that.
No, I mean, how come you have the best research? Who researched it?
Well, the people who are working to preserve the monarch butterfly.
I see.
They researched it because the monarch butterfly, you know, it's important to preserve their wild system.
Yes.
So if you want to help out monarch butterflies, plant native. I'm going to look at planting milkweed next year.
I've planted milkweed and it works.
Yeah.
And plant it. They like milkweed. I don't know if they like that or true. They're going to eat your milkweed. So it's yeah. always going to look like it's eaten.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I planted milkweed around a window.
Huh.
So that a window that I wouldn't open and I wouldn't disturb, but that I could see, even though the plant itself is going to look bad.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
could see the monarch butterflies and their
That's
caterpillars.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Yeah.
And then one of my gardeners pulled it up, made me so crazy. You can grow milkweed from seed. It is not hard to grow.
No, no, it's not, because it's a native.
And there's all different colors of milkweed. And there's showy milkweed, which is pink. So Ooh. That's nice too. Yeah.
Yes.
Outside Pride.
That.
Outside Pride has showy milkweed seed. Outsidepride.com. It's a seed place here in Oregon that has showy milkweed seed. At least it did.
Oh, that's awesome.
It has
that's
all
fabulous.
Different kinds. So planting milkweed is a big deal. Also, planting parsley for the swallowtails.
Oh, yeah.
Dill yeah. And parsley for the swallowtails.
Huh. Interesting.
I know, wow. right?
Yeah.
I mean, you won't get the parsley, you won't get the dill, but you'll get the butterflies.
I mean, it's worth it, right?
Yeah.
It's totally worth it. Yeah.
And parsley and dill are no-brainers to plant.
Right. I was going to plant those anyway. I did plant those anyway.
Right. And also, parsley's a biennial. That means it comes up one year and gives you some leaves. It comes up the second year, it gives you seeds. And then that's it. It dies off.
Yeah.
So, yep. So you might as well keep planting it. You know, just overplant. So
yeah.
you get some for your table or your recipes, and the monarchs get, or swallowtails get the rest.
Yeah.
And dill
exactly.
Dill is a no brainer. Once you plant dill, the seeds go everywhere. Then it's a question.
Yes.
Then it's a question of editing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's going to be the big thing for my garden next year is I know what everything grows up as now. And
Good.
Now it's a matter of editing and
yes.
editing at the right time, you
yes.
know, because there are some things where it's like, OK, there's no way that I can move a hosta in August. That thing
no.
is a monster.
No.
No.
Unless you want to kill it.
Yeah. Which I don't.
And you could also in September, October, when it gets cooler, mm-hmm. you could dig it up, divide it and sell them.
Oh, yeah.
And then put some seeds in the ground. Now, do you have places where you can buy native plants in your area or
I
native
do.
Seeds?
Yes. Yeah. Local, our local nursery, Fadigan's Nursery, is excellent.
Good.
But I've also been looking into online resources.
Oh, good
and,
for you.
And one website that I found is Everwild with an E at the end. Everwild uh-huh. Farms, Inc. And they're
dot
just
com.
Everwild.com. Yep.
Okay.
Wild with an E.
Yeah.
And you can search by your area for
yeah.
natives.
Yeah.
Another one is wildflower.org.
Good.
And you can search by where you are, what you want, what your soil type is like, all kinds of things. So you can really do. Yeah,
it's
all
good for
habitats.
The bees. It's good for the bees. It's good for the birds. It's good for the land.
It is. It is.
And you don't have to go hog wild the first year, you know? You can dip your toe in and plant a little tiny 2-foot section and see
yeah.
what happens. And if you don't like the way it looks, put it in a different section so that you don't look at it all the time. But the birds will find it. The bugs will find it. The natives will find it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, you're doing something to, you know, restore nature. That's huge.
It's
That's
more
huge.
Than huge. It's essential.
Yeah. It is essential because right now, essentially, we're guarding on a deficiency. You
yes.
know, we have to constantly bring in new soil to
yes.
replenish the old.
Yes.
where, you know, there are so many different regenerative farming techniques where yes. if we reuse them, you're not spending money on soil. You're not spending money on this, on that. Instead, you're just becoming part of the ecosystem.
Exactly.
And allowing it to continue.
And that's why it's so important to start a compost pile. It's yeah. important. It's important to grow your natives. It's important to keep your own seeds so that you know from 1 year to the next that your seeds are being acclimated to exactly your property and you're going to get the best out of them.
I mean, what magic is that, right?
I know,
oh
right?
my God, that is so exciting.
And that includes your natives.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, plus your neighbors might want to go, oh my goodness, what's that pretty flower? Well, that's a native. Mm-hmm. Well, what's it do? Well, it brings these kinds of bugs. Oh, I don't want those bugs, but it brings me the swallowtails or this ones or that ones, birds that you've been seeing in the neighborhood. Oh, I like that. I'll give you some seeds or I'll give you some plant starts.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. And also, seed collection can be free. You can be walking around. You do want to like know what you're collecting because there are some nasty invasives that you could also collect.
That's right. And you want to avoid those at all costs. No bindweed.
Right. Exactly. But like phlox, you know, you find some phlox. Maybe borrow a little patch of phlox and put it in your yard. Why not?
Or wait for the seeds to wait for the heads to seed to dry yep. with
collect
seeds.
The heads, plant or, them. There
and
you
ask,
go.
Ask a gardener. A lot of times gardeners don't collect their seeds because they don't have the time or the energy.
Yeah, yeah.
So the phlox seed, you know, if you ask them, you know, I'll come and watch the seed head for you. Please don't cut this one back and I will cut it back. Collect the seeds. I'll give you a start if you want another one. And they say, no, I have too much of it. You know, it's like, yeah. I don't know what to do with it all. A lot of gardeners are like that. Mm-hmm. A lot of old lady gardeners like me, it's like, I don't have time to collect the seeds. You want the seeds? Go ahead. Go ahead.
Yep.
So also I saw online and I didn't look at it. I was channel surfing. I was surfing the net. There's something called a seed bank. You can start your own native seed banks.
Oh, how cool.
Why not?
Yes.
In your area.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I just Googled native planting New York and yeah. I actually found that our native council, I guess,
yeah.
is like 15 minutes away from me.
I love it.
Right?
I love it. I love
it. So I signed up for their next luncheon and I'm going to go.
Excellent. And yeah. it doesn't mean that you have to rip out your roses and your phlox out here, you know, and your campanulas and your clematis and all that stuff. It means that as you grow in your garden, to be able to set aside a place for your natural area's nature to take a stand so that if you want birds in your garden, you know, plant some native plants. Mm-hmm. If you want an easier time in your garden, plant some native plants. If you want to stop watering your lawn and sell your lawnmower, the best way to do that is to plant some natives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I've seen, I'm on the beautification committee for the Canby, for Canby, for my little town. And they have been, we've been trying to beautify alongside this really ugly 4-lane highway. Mm-hmm. Called 99, Highway 99. And I wanted to grow wildflowers there.
Yeah.
So I put in $100 worth of wildflowers 1 year, and up came up all kinds of poppies and cornflowers and all kinds of beautiful things. Mm. And now this bakes, gets no water, and it bakes. It's southern exposure. It bakes. No water. And in August, there were flowers.
Yes.
No water.
Yep.
Flowers.
Because they've spent billions of years getting adjusted to this climate and they know what they've signed up for. They're
That's
natives.
Right. That's
They're
right.
here for it. They love it.
You know, and for people in the country, you could just throw some in a field.
Yeah.
a field you're not using per se, or or at the back of your compost pile where you don't really look anymore, or at the side of your yard that gets too much sun, that you don't have a watering system on. Throw them in there and see what happens.
Yeah. Why not?
Why not? Why not? Because it's bad for the environment if you don't.
Yes. Yeah. And once you know, you kind of have, there is a responsibility there.
Yes.
Because, oh my God, just read this book. I can make more notes, and as I'm going
we'll
through
put
it,
the book,
because
we'll
oh
put the book, we'll put the titles,
God.
We'll put the titles and the yeah. author on our website.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And it's important. Then we build a corridor across America of gardens, because every gardener wants to help nature.
Yes.
Every single one. You know, I talk about this garden in England called Great Dixter a lot. And Sissinghurst and a lot of the gardens now, the great gardens of England, their climate is changing too. But yeah. in Great Dixter, he has this 1500 house, 1500 built in 1500s house.
Yeah.
Amazing house, Tudor house. And he has these beautiful gardens from 1901 or two or three and the beds. And then he has this field. And in the field, it's wild. He's got maybe every 25 feet, he's got a topiaried boxwood. Because it's England, for crying out loud.
Yeah, yeah.
But
of course, you have a topiary boxwood. You have to.
Of course, you have to. It's England. You got to give people something to look at. And the rest of the field is wild.
Yeah.
And they love it. They look at the bees, they look at the birds, they look at the bugs, they look at everything. And it's wild, and it counterbalances all of the other exotics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they've done that for decades.
Yeah. Yeah, you need, if you want to keep breathing air, you need to be part of the environment. We are, as much as we like to pretend that we're not, we are animals.
Yep.
And we are part of this ecosystem.
Spoken like a true... You're not a millennial, are you?
I am a millennial. Yeah.
Are you a millennial?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Spoken like a true one. A true one. An absolute pure gold one.
There we go. Right. Yep. So, all right. What you having for dinner?
Gosh, I don't know. I truly don't know. What are you having? What did you have for dinner?
We had burritos. With
yum.
Onion from the garden,
yeah.
Pepper from the garden,
yeah.
Tomato from the garden,
yeah.
And it was delicious. Forrest whipped up a mean one.
Excellent. I know what we're having for dinner. We're having salad. Big
yum.
Salad.
Yum.
big salad. So, we're going to keep on about these natives. So, what's one of I want to know, and then let's close off. I wanted to know, what's one of the beautiful native flowers that you can plant in your area?
Okay. Yes.
I'm putting you on the spot.
Yes. Do it. So a native flower, it's pretty widespread, and I know I'm going to butcher the name, but
okay.
it looks like foxgloves. I think it actually...
Oh, nice.
No, it isn't, because it's not digitalis, but it looks like it. It's a beautiful purple flower. Actually, I think it's better than foxgloves because it has the flowers coming out of four different sides.
Nice.
Of it. It's gorgeous.
And, how do you...
So I'm in New York. It's local to New York, but also basically the entire eastern half into the Midwest of the U.S. And I found this off everwild.com, wild with an E.
Okay.
And they provide like this great map of like here's where you can have it, here's where it's native, sowing, growing, harvesting, seed saving, all of the things.
I love
so it is called Sisodigenia virginia.
Okay, so you know that they found it in Virginia first.
Yes. Yeah.
Sissy. Is it Sissy?
P-H-Y-S-O-S-T-E-G-I-A. Physogetia virginiana.
Good for you. Okay.
Yeah.
Dad always said you should have taken Latin to me.
Yeah.
He always said that to me. You should have taken Latin.
I mean,
and
you
boy,
took,
was he
you
right.
took a course in Latin, basically, with gardening, right?
Well, yeah. You know, you get used to it. You know, like album is white and like that. Anyway, so.
Oh, and one of the awesome things about this plant is butterflies love it.
I love it.
Actually native food for butterflies. So like, little dirty secret about the gardening industry. Butterfly plants, butterfly bushes, are not native.
No.
And do not actually support the environment. Butterflies will eat them, sure, but it's not their preferred food.
No. And why not? Why give them, you know, beef, chuck when we can give them steak?
Right. Yes. And steak is prettier and native.
Yes. And
better
easier
for your
to take,
soil.
And easier to take care of. Yep. And also, you don't need to enrich your soil much with natives.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't like enriched soil very much.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably have to water them once in a blue moon, but the rains usually take care of it. Unless you're in a drought, which we most of us are, then you have to water them a little bit. But other than that, they have to kind of live as they can.
Yeah.
And like it. And they like it like that.
There it is.
Okay, great. So this is all good news, all good things. So next year, how much are you going to turn your garden into a native garden?
Oh, I think I'm going to try to put in as many natives as I can. So this is going to mean that this winter is going to be an active one for me.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be studying up, reading, perusing all native seed catalogs and finding resources. You
now
know?
You can't put them in with the exotics because the exotics require more water.
Ah, true. Yeah.
So you have to set aside a place for what those native plants need and put those in the same place. And all natives aren't going to be alike.
Yeah.
You know, some natives are going to need more water. They like boggy areas. Some natives need dry.
Yep.
But you need to find out and put like needed plants together. So you can't mix and match.
Right, right.
I don't think.
It's like learning a whole new language, you know?
It is.
Because we know all of the ones that we like and all the ones that we have, but a lot of those are not native and not beneficial. So I'm going to be, you know, venturing out on this and we'll see.
Good.
Thank you for indulging my...
That's okay.
We'll my millennial.
We'll talk natives. I'm going to ask you about more. I'm going to ask you about more flowers and plants in your area, and
absolutely.
I'll find some. And I'll find some in mine too. And
yes.
Some of them are surprising. Some of them are bad. Like there's a loosestrife out here.
Oh yeah,
It grows everywhere, and so they put it on the invasive. It's a beautiful plant. I've seen it in England grow along the sides of the road. It grows along the side of my road.
It goes everywhere.
But it grows everywhere. So you have to be careful about them. There's enough loosestrife in the neighborhood for our bugs.
Ugh.
We don't need to help the loosestrife bugs.
No.
They've got their diet got down.
Well, especially if it's an invasive. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and that's the one of the depressing things is,
you
know, once you notice an invasive that's really taking over, oh my God. Like, I have a couple, and every time I see them, I see them everywhere now, and I just, so sad.
It can get that way. So you just have to know that sooner or later, maybe the climate will change it, maybe it won't.
Well, this is what we can do. Change it in your own backyard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can.
You do have the agency. Yeah.
And the birds and the bugs will thank you.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And frankly, so will the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. And as the climate changes, so too will the natives.
Yes. Yeah.
So you'll be able to grow more and more stuff. I mean, look at the sharks coming up along the seaside on the East Coast where they never have been before because the waters are getting warmer. You know, it's very interesting what's happening. Your lifetime is going to be fascinatingly interesting on how the earth changes. Mm-hmm. That's why I want you to keep a journal of what you planted, what you could plant today. Mm-hmm. That was no big deal, that by the time you're 70, close to my age, you can't plant anymore.
Oh, that's a sad thought.
No, it might not be, because then you can plant something else, maybe oleander or something astounding.
That's true. That's true. Yes,
you never know.
You're right. Absolutely.
It's shifting. It's like somebody has rolled the dice and everything's shifting.
Yes. Yep.
It's going to be a fascinating time. If you're not afraid of change, it's going to be a fascinating time.
Yep. It will be.
And while gardeners love nature and stuff, they must love change a little bit because it changes so much.
Yeah.
In the course
of
1 year,
you have to love the seasons, right? Yeah.
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 Yeah. All right, sweetheart. I'm going to go down and fix my salad. You've already eaten your burrito. I love you whole bunches.
I love you whole bunches.
And we'll talk again soon.
All right.
All right. Bye, sweetheart.
Check us out on TikTok at Gardening Related, our website at gardeningrelated.com, and our Instagram at gardening.related. Ask us questions, buy supplies, leave your feedback, and give us some love.
Oh, I like